Welcome to the Summit Red Deer podcast. You can stay connected by going to our website, thesummitreddeer.ca.
While I was in Edmonton this week, how many people are from Edmonton? How many are any Edmonton folks here? They were here this weekend, a few of y'all. Okay. One of the words we got while I was there was 25 was going to be a year of double. And I kept hearing double, 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 double or nothing. And how many of y'all want nothing? All right, how many of y'all want double?
Yeah.
Okay, you're good. So what I want to do is I want to pray. We did this, I think, on Friday night. But I sensed again this afternoon while, you know, you were talking about what you were doing about offering, what God was going to do. I heard the Lord say, I want you to do the same thing here that you did there, because the connection they have with the summit in Edmonton, I'm going to cause overflow to run in here. So the word of the Lord is double, double, double. Everybody say double, double, double. So raise that up. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm asking you to double what came in here, what came in online. Father, in the name of Jesus, we submit this offering to you. I call it double. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, that they will have double into overflow. That, Father, I want to thank you, God, even as they move forward, that not only are you going to provide everything that is needed, but, Lord, you're going to cause them to be able to flow in an abundance, in a grace, in an exceeding abundant beyond all they could ask or think. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that this offering today that is coming in, Lord, will double. This will be a double portion, a double amount heading into the new year as a prophetic sign of what you're desiring to do. And we call it done in Jesus' name. Everybody say, that's good.
That's good.
I call it good. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, three of us liked it. How about the rest of y'all? It's an honor to be with you. I'm Ron Teal. And as TJ says, we met down in Florida. That's where I met you. And I've been a voice with Chris and Nikki in the summit. If y'all know them, I met them before they really ever started actually in pastoral ministry. They were connected with the Church of Montgomery. And so anyway, we've had a lot of exciting things. It's kind of funny. You mentioned sometimes I prophesy stuff and upset folks. And it was hilarious. Two baby prophecies. You know, you're not supposed to prophesy babies or marriages. You know that, don't you? Well, that's what I was taught. Well, I'm getting up there. We're down in Brazil. And there's this pastor that was there, and the Lord spoke to him. He said, I want you to bring him and his wife together, and I want you to pray over him. I'm going to open her womb. They're going to have a child. And they've been trying to have a child for years. Couldn't have a baby. And I said, and the Lord says, you lay hands on them, pray for them, tell them this time next year they're going to have a baby. So I did that. Well, people got mad at me. I wasn't supposed to do that. The only problem is she had a baby just under a year later, a baby boy. And they contacted me 2 weeks ago. They have moved to Atlanta, Georgia, and they've asked me to come and to pray over their son. And also, and he's now, I don't know, 10 or 12 years, Ricardinha. And I'm going to be down there preaching for them and praying over them. Amen. And I get to celebrate and hold these babies that we get to prophesy. And Cy and Holly, any of y'all know who Cy and Holly are? Revel, Cy and Holly, I prophesied to them and that they were going to have a baby in a foreign land. And they laughed at me and she got mad. She said, I'm not speaking to you again. Well, guess what? They came to Canada and had a baby, didn't they? And it's kind of good what God does. I don't have any baby prophecies today, so y'all relax. There's women won't get in my prayer line to save their life. They're like, I'm not going to do that. I might have a baby. Yeah, you might. I prayed for a lady one time. And I said, Lord wants to give you a baby. She said, I had a hysterectomy. I said, I don't care. It doesn't make me any difference. She got pregnant and had a baby. Look at you. I'm not looking at you, I promise. Psalm 139, if you have your Bibles, there's several things I'm going to do. When I found out I was coming to Red Deer, I thought we were wrapping up this morning. I scheduled my flight. I have a flight, midnight red-eye flight back into Austin. I have to get back to do some TV shows. But anyway, I'm gonna prophesy right up until I can't. And I want to, there's so many of us, I'm going to do some personal prophetic. I've already got several of y'all in the room. We'll do some, but I'm going to do a lot of prophetic toward the body, okay? And then maybe, if I'm okay, maybe I can come back and we can do a little bit more prophetic. But I want to talk about the power of the prophetic and what it is. So please don't get mad if I don't prophesy to you individually today. We just got more folks and we have time. And it's because I'd already scheduled my airline ticket to get back and I can't change it. So I got to do what I got to do. But we're going to take the best run for our money. Is that all right? And I do, there are two things that I do want to do, and I really believe it's powerful that we had communion today. A lot of times we don't understand the power of communion. And my wife and I, and we have made this a practice even whenever I was pastoring. I've been in ministry for 49 years. I know I look like I'm 32, but that's okay. I've been in ministry 49 years. I pastored 34 of those years, and I've traveled the rest of the time. And when I was pastoring, one of the things I taught our people was, is that communion is a sacrament. It's not a ritual. It's a sacrament. It's something that is holy to the Lord. And also, the power of communion is in healing. And so my wife and I practice it, and we taught our people and our church, anytime you have sickness attacking your body, go get you some communion elements and take communion every day. And we've seen cancer heal. I've got two guys right now I'm ministering to. We prayed for the Lord completely healed of leukemia. And just recently, I'm talking in the last year, both of them been completely healed of leukemia. And I told them, I said, you take communion every day. You take the body and the blood of Jesus. And I want to tell you something so important about communion. Jesus looked at a multitude of people and he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no part of me. And, you know, a lot of people walked away because they didn't understand. How many of y'all know whenever you try to interpret in your natural mind what the Lord is saying, you're going to miss it every time? But whenever you allow the word of the Lord to be interpreted through the realm of the Spirit and through your spiritual encounter at that particular point, God will take you into a new place. Well, when Jesus said that, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no part in me. People walked away and said, I said, Lord, that's hard. That's rough. And he looked at him and he said, would you like to go too? You can go too if you want to. If it's too hard for you, just go ahead and take off right now. He gave them an opportunity, but they turned and said, Lord, but you have the words of life. And they turned around and walked with the Lord Jesus. What they didn't understand was, is Jesus was speaking of something that he was going to do with them to remember what he was doing for them. And it would be a lifelong in the earth covenant relationship sacrament that when they take the body and the blood of Jesus, they ingest it and it becomes a part of who they are. So when you took the bread and the cup today, the juice, you literally were celebrating the life of Jesus, the body and the blood of Jesus that was given for you, and it became a part of who you are. Isn't that amazing? So I turn to your neighbor and say, you got Jesus in you now. So whenever we celebrate communion, one of the things my wife and I do is we look at each other and say, we have Jesus in us now. And it's a literal thing. And I mean, people say, well, that's kind of strange. I don't care. It works. Doesn't it? Hey, if it works, it works. And so I'm really encouraging what's doing. So anyway, the communion is important. I want to pray for all the kids that are 12 and under here in just a little while. I think the blow force went out. Is that right? In a few minutes, I want to lay hands on all those kids who are in the room tonight that are like 5 to 12. Is that all right? Because I think there is a releasing. But I walked in the room today, and I'll get over in the Bible in a minute. I usually tell people turn anywhere, and I'll be there after a while. And but I, you know, I'm kind of in that place where when I walked in the room, the Lord told me. He said, I want to release a multi-generational blessing. And I want you to pray for the five, you know, the kids that are left in here as a sign up into the teenage years and that they will be able to walk in the blessing of the Lord. But I really believe it's really powerful in the multi-generational blessing of the Lord at what God's giving you. And sir, you're right back there on the very back. You got to go to you a little bit longer. Mine, I like it. Yeah, you're holding it right now. You're stand up. You kind of got to. Here's what the Lord says. You will carry a multi-generational blessing that'll be passed on to those that are around you. The Lord's already mandated that over your life. And what God has said is you will carry a sound, you will carry a word, but there will be wisdom that you'll pass into the next generations. And the Lord says that what you say will be visited to the next 10 generations and will follow through into the 100 generations that will follow you. People will begin to speak of that which you have spoken to them so that they would be able to tap into the things of the Lord. God did not make you a man for your generation. He made you a man for the generations that will follow you. Got it? So what you say matters. What you say counts. What God brings through you is amazing. And so when you lay hands on the next generation that follows, they're going to take the impartation of what it is that you have received from the Lord. And may I remind you, freely you have received, freely give. Got it? One of the most powerful things that you're going to walk in is the healing that you're going to pass on to the next generations because God has healed you. Okay? So, Father, I'm asking right now, Lord, that you would release blessing. How many of y'all want your stuff to go to 1,000 generations? Lord, I'm asking right now, Lord, that the power of your grace would be upon this man as he carries out, Lord, the heart of the generations that are coming. Lord, thank you that you have already set in motion what it is that you're doing. And we're asking you, Lord, to give a great grace to step into that. Now, because there's so many in us and we're going to be limited on time that we can prophesy, this is what I'm going to do. If I pick out some people and I prophesy, or if I call on us as a congregation in here today, we're all going to get it as we go. Is that all right? So if you want, I'm going to show you how we're going to do this. And I tell people all the time in the prophetic, especially when I prophesy to someone, I tell them, if you want what I'm prophesying to that individual, if something in you says, you know, that's right, I want that in my life too, just stand up. Just stand up. You don't say anything. Don't disrupt. Just stand up. And then when I get through prophesying to the person and pray for them, I pray for the ones that are standing, and I'm asking the Lord to give overflow. Come on, everybody shout overflow. How many of y'all know God's about overflow? So if you want this multi-generational blessing, stand up. I'm going to pray for you just like I prayed for him. Okay? If that rang true in your heart, because you see, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And what we have to realize is this, is that the Lord is amazing in releasing the word. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you, Lord, to release multi-generational blessing over these that are standing. And Father, I just decree in the mighty name of Jesus that you would bring us into a place of deeper understanding your ways. Lord, I thank you that you have anointed the words that leave our mouths. So, Lord, I'm asking right now that you would save our mouth. We're going to get our mouth saved. Lord, we're going to start saying the things that you say. Father, I'm asking right now over these that are standing that you would grant to them the ability to pass on to the next generations the things that you are speaking, the things that are impartation. Father, I'm asking right now that you would give a great grace to release the multi-generational blessing into the lives of the next generations that they may know with you and they may walk with you. And Lord, I want to decree the power of your words where you said one generation will shout to another generation. And Father, whenever they shouted, they got it. Amen? So everybody shout blessing.
Blessing.
That's what they did. You may be seated. One generation shouted to the next generation, and the Lord blessed it. Let me give you Ephesians 3:20, and I want to share this, and I want to get you guys who are getting married. I'm going to get y'all. So y'all hang on. In Ephesians 3:20, the Lord really began speaking to me one day, and I was reading through, and he said, I want you to take this to heart. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all you could ask or think, according to the power that's working within you. And I was reading through that, and I was looking, I was meditating it, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, I'm going to give you the right to exaggerate anything that I will do, and I'll surpass it. That scripture means that I am able to do exceeding abundant beyond all you could ask. He said, there's nothing you can ask from me that I won't give you greater than. There's nothing you will say about me that I will not surpass it and prove myself to be greater than your finite mind because I am an infinite God. And I mean, all of a sudden, I began to change the way that I began to think. I began to change the way I looked at life. And I realized that God was calling me to live in a place of extravagant abundance in the things of the Lord. And at that particular point in my life, all of a sudden, the mentality of lack was broken off of my life. And from that day forward, I never thought about not having enough. I began to focus on the God that has more than I can imagine. Now, to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all you could ask or think. Now, listen to this. According to the power that works within you. You know what the power is that works in you? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. So whenever you're operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, God's able to perform in you and through you everything that he wants to do with you so that you can bring an extension, an extravagance, and an excellence of the things of the Lord that he can do through your life. And guys, life's been a wild ride since the Lord gave me that scripture, because I realized all of a sudden there will never be a time in my life where I can talk about God and limit anything he wants to do. Because he's an unlimited God. He's an eternal God, right? So, Father, I just ask you right now, release that over this congregation of people, Lord. Father, I just decree that Ephesians 3:20 will become a part of who they are. That, Lord, that you will do exceeding abundantly beyond all they could ask or think. Lord, I'm asking you to change their wording. Change their life. Change what they believe you for. And God, let them live in that place of believing you beyond not just what they need, but what you want to bring, in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of y'all know God wants to bring more than you think? Some of us are striving and challenged by just what we need, and we don't realize God's not interested in giving you just what you need. He wants you to live in abundant overflow right now. Come on, everybody shout overflow. Y'all are going to get it in a minute. I'm going to have y'all get this overflow deal before I leave here today. Because I believe that what's happening is God is setting us up in a place of overflow. So, you know, close the door on 24 and come alive in 25. Is that all right? Learn how to shut the door on what yesterday was, because you got to learn to live in the flow and the life-giving presence of God in today. And right now, the Lord is really beginning to temper all of us into the place that we're going to live way beyond anything we've ever seen in our life. So it's time now that we start thinking about God greater than. Now, listen to me. Anytime the Lord asks something for you or from you, anytime he does that, it will never leave you in a place of lack, because what he replaces in your life will be greater than what you already have, right? So you're always, in dealing with the Lord, you're always going to trade up. So turn to your neighbor and say, it's time for you to trade up. You'll never trade down with the Lord. You always trade up with God. Everything that you do will be in a place of up. So you got to live in the up that God has for you. Not that I'm going to do less than, it's that, God, I'm going to do greater than. It's not that I'm going to be behind, I'm going to be ahead. And you know, it's interesting, whenever we realize, when God begins to walk through our lives and begins to peel back the layers of our life, he begins instilling things in us that is amazing. And I'm going to tell you, one of the things God's doing in this house, DJ, the Lord is releasing favor in this house like you've never seen. And I'm telling you right now, one hour of favor is better than 1,000 hours of labor. Got it? You need to write that down. That goes on the refrigerator when you get home tonight, all right? 1 hour of favor. Come on, everybody. 1 hour of favor is better than 1,000 hours of labor. Because you live in that place of the favor of the Lord. I kind of laugh at my wife all the time. She said, I have the favor of God on me. She goes shopping and she gets a parking space right in front of the door. When I go, I park out in the parking lot because I need to walk, obviously, get this thing off. She says, well, I'm not. I'm going to take the favor of God. She parks right in the door. She walks in. She doesn't shop. She buys. I'll be talking to her in the morning. I said, what are you going to do? Well, the Lord told me to go to Belk today. I got to buy. And I think, oh, Jesus, help us, Lord. She'll go and come back. She said, you're not going to believe what I found. She'll buy $50, $60, $80 stuff for like $5. And I'm thinking, I said, how you do that? She said, you told me I had the favor of God, so I'm practicing. Right? You got to practice the favor. You know, when we live by the favor of the Lord, we live in that space, in that zone where God begins to do things in our life. And I'm telling you right now, whenever I was looking out a moment ago, I kept thinking about the story of 5 loaves and 2 fish and the thousands of Jesus that he fed that day. You know, it wasn't just 5,000. It was 5,000 men plus women plus children, probably 25, 30,000 people there that day. He fed with 5 loaves, 2 fish and had 12 baskets left over. Isn't that amazing? He didn't even have that to start with and got more. Why? Because he is an exceeding abundant beyond all you could ask or think kind of Jesus. And he brings that level of provision in our life. And I'm telling you right now, you need to hear me when I say this. God is working behind the scenes right now in a 5 loaves and 2 fish. If you have faith to receive it, you can walk in it. But if you don't believe it, you'll never see it. Got it? Turn to your neighbor and say, if you believe it, you got it. If you don't believe, it's past you. And I'm telling you, one of the things I'm seeing, and I don't know in Canada, but down where I live in Texas, down in the United States, I have the hardest time getting people out of unbelief and into faith for what God is wanting to do in their life. And I tell them right now, unbelief will cripple you and keep you from inheriting the favor and the blessing of the Lord in your life. But faith will cause you to walk out what God said. And you also have to learn to get your mouth saved. Turn to your neighbor and say, get your mouth saved. Some of y'all enjoyed saying that. Go ahead and say it again. That'll help them. I was prophesying to a businessman the other day and about his business. He said, well, I don't know. I said, shut up. He said, that's rude. I said, no, rude is if I speak to you in Texan. I'm being nice when I said a holy word, shut up. He said, why did you say that? I said, because you're sabotaging what I'm trying to prophesy to you. I'm trying to release a blessing of the Lord, and you don't have any, you're not, if get in faith with me. He said, yeah, I agree with that. That's going to happen to me, right? Yes. This dude made $67,000 a month in commissions. That's a month. So he said, okay, I'm going to get my mouth saved. I agree in Jesus' name. Next month, he made $127,000 in commissions and has not fallen behind since. He called me one day and said, I'm glad you got my mouth saved. I said, I didn't. God saved your mouth. I just tried to teach you how to talk about it. See, when you learn to call those things that be not as though they were, you can see it happen. Amen? And you got to learn to live in that place. And I'm telling you right now, one of the things that God's really speaking, and when you guys are talking about this building situation, you told me what the Lord had done. I'm like, I'm watching a miracle happen. Now, here's what's crazy. Can y'all believe God to provide all the money to remodel that place before you get in it? Okay, six of us are in agreement. What about the rest of y'all? I mean, you understand, God's able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all you could ask or think. And you know, we got to learn how to call those things that are not, that be not, as though they were. That's Romans 4:17. Sometimes you got to look at situations and call it what God calls it. Don't call it what you see it. Doesn't matter what you see, it matters what God says. You know why? Because what I see is not necessarily what God's going to do. Sometimes what I see is an opportunity for me to speak what God says into that so it can change. So when I see it, I don't let that limit me. What I do is I see it so I can call it what it needs to be, and I can enjoy the journey from where it is to where it's going to go. You got to call those things that be not as though they were. Friday night, you were here. I'm going to tell a couple of stories from Friday nights, all right? Friend of mine, out in Amarillo, Texas, salesman. And anyway, he sells for an oil company out there. And I was teaching him this principle about calling those things that be not as though they were, Romans 4:17. And I was talking to him about that particular night, he said, does that even work in business? I know that's a spiritual thing. I said, yeah, it works in business. He said, I'm going to try it out in my business. I said, okay. So he sold six pallets of solvent to one of his customers. He calls into the warehouse and he said, hey, I sold six pallets. I need you to ship it out. And they said, there's just no way. We don't have any in the warehouse. We've ordered some. It's going to be about, 60 days or so before we get any. And so, no, we cannot fulfill that order. He said, no, you're going to fill that order because I've already sold it. My customer needs it. We need that. And they said, you don't understand. We don't have any in our warehouse. There's none in the manufacturing warehouse. They have to go in and they have to make it before they can ship it. So we're probably good 60 days. Days out before we get it. He said, that's not good enough. I've already sold it. So I'm going to call those things that be not as though they were. And I'm going to call that in right now. And I command in the name of Jesus that six pallets of solvent will show up on this warehouse tomorrow. And we're going to fulfill this order. And the guy says, you don't understand, Todd. There isn't any in the United States. He said, I don't care. It's in heaven so it can get here in the morning. He gets up the next morning, phone rings at 8 o'clock. He was headed to work. Phone rings and said, Todd, where are you at? And he said, I'm heading in. You ain't going to believe this. What? I've got six pallets of that solvent sitting in the warehouse. I don't know what to do. It arrived this morning at 7:30. What do I do? He said, ship it out and fill the order. He said, I don't know about that thing that you did to get that in here. They told us they didn't have any of it, and it showed up. What's that about? He said, you got to learn how to call those things that be not as though they were. You got to learn how to pray and believe God for God to do what he's due, because God will always do what man can't accomplish. How many of y'all know you don't need a miracle till you get impossible? Some of y'all are fretting over impossibilities. You need to be shouting, jumping up and down and dancing, because anytime you meet the place of impossibility, it's time for a miracle to show up, right? God never sends a miracle until he gets us to the place to where it can't happen anymore. Go talk to Sarah and Abraham. Got it? Impossible. Impossible. He had to, listen, God had to get him about 100 years old before he could do anything with him. Don't wait around that long. But he had to get him that, and whenever he got him there, all of a sudden, the Lord did a miracle in the place of her impossibility. What about Mary? I mean, we just did the Christmas deal, right? Here's a virgin, never known a man, and she gets pregnant and has a baby because God said so. Turn to your neighbor and say, when God speaks, it's a done deal. don't you like it? I like that, don't you? See, the thing about it is you got to learn how to live in that place where you believe God for what he's going to do. And I'm telling you prophetically right now, you need to hear me when I say this. God has put many of you in the place right now where you're facing an impossible situation, and you need to learn to tell it what to do rather than letting it tell you what's going to happen. I'm telling you, I don't take orders from anything but God. Situations don't tell me what to do. I tell situation what God says about it. Amen. So my buddy Todd, he sells 2 truckloads of oil, and it has to be put in 55-gallon drums. Well, he calls down to the warehouse, and he said, hey, I need y'all to drum up this oil, and I've already sold all this. And he said, Todd, we got the oil. We just don't have any drums. He said, well, I need you to drum it up. He said, we don't have any drums. It's going to be 30 days before they get here. They don't have any in the warehouse. He said, that's not good enough. And the warehouse manager said, are you going to do that God thing on this too? He said, I sure am. He said, well, Todd, it's going to be a truckload of blue barrels and a truckload of yellow barrels. He said, okay, fine. So Todd, right there on the phone, said, Father, in Jesus' name, I call in those barrels. I call those things that be not as though they were. Lord, they're not here, but they're going to be here in the morning. Lord, I call in a truckload of blue barrels and a truckload of yellow barrels. And Lord, tomorrow we will fulfill the order that we sold in the mighty name of Jesus. And that guy said, wank, Todd. I mean, you got this religion thing all out of sorts. He said, well, let's see what happens. 7:30 the next morning, his phone rings. The warehouse manager said, Todd, I came down here and whatever, unlocked the gate to walk in. He said, there was a truck sitting at the gate. And I said, what do you need? He said, well, I've got a truckload of blue barrels that I've got to deliver. And there's a guy right behind me with a truckload of yellow ones. Is that y'all's? He said, I think so. Bring it on in. Todd got ready, went down there, and he looked at him. The guy says, I need to know about this God deal. I need to, because all of a sudden, all the stuff that we ain't got shows up the next day when we're not supposed to be able to have it. He said, you can have anything God says you can have. Turn your neighbor and say, when God says you can have it, you can have it. That blows your mind, doesn't it? Boy, that just flies in the face of religion. He said, what do you want me to do? He said, well, fill up those barrels and deliver it. And he's begun telling me more and more and more stories after that, that God has done in the business realm, in the marketplace realm. I went into a restaurant to eat the other day, and the owner of the restaurant came up to me. It was out in Amarillo, Texas. And she said, Mr. Teal? I said, yeah. She said, somebody told me that you pray for businesses. I said, yeah, I sure do. And said, well, we're not doing too good out here, and I had to take some time off because of an accident I had. And I said, what happened to you? And she told me. I said, why did you want to do that? And she said, well, I didn't. I said, well, I'm going to pray for you, and God's going to heal you. She said, well, that's okay, but I need my business healed too. Can he heal? I said, yeah. So I prayed for her business, and I asked the Lord to bring in people from all over the city to eat in this restaurant. And I said, I'll tell you what we're going to do is, as a prophetic sign, I want you to bring up all your servers that aren't working right now that are in the restaurant, and I'm going to pray over them. And I started praying over them. The Lord says, I want you to give them a $20 tip each. So they didn't serve me. I'm just praying for them, and I give each of them a $20 tip. And they were looking at me like, well, you didn't order any food, and you gave me a $20 tip. I said, yeah, because the Lord says he's going to increase the tips in this place. I got a video last week. This is just a little over a month ago. I got a video last week from one of the servers, and they said, a friend of mine had gone in there and says, hey, can you tell Ron to come by? Because after he prayed for us, this restaurant filled up, and we have been totally filled up ever since he prayed. And my tips have tripled in the last month. I get 3 times more than I've ever gotten in tips before. Can he come by here and tip me again? I thought, well, Lord, does that mean I have to give her 50 bucks this time instead of 20? Come on, God is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think. You guys, y'all getting married? Yes, y'all stand up a minute. When we started praying over y'all just a second ago, it's kind of funny, I saw a blender. How many of y'all know what a blender is? Listen, we've been married 42 years. We still have the original blender that was given to us when we got married. Isn't that crazy? I still use it every now and then just so my kids can talk about me. I saw a blender. And I turned around and looked, and I saw God blending families. I don't know if you guys have kids or not, each of you or whatever, but I saw a blended family. I saw the Lord bring them together. And I saw perfect unity coming among your children as you were married. And I saw the Lord bringing you guys into a place of unity and blessing. And I heard the Lord say, just tell them, yeah, this is the right thing. So don't even question going forward. Y'all just need to run into this, right? And you need to learn that what God is doing is God has rightly placed you together so that you can fulfill the destiny for which you've been created. You have had some setbacks in days past, but the Lord says, I've got a big eraser. I'm wiping out the yesterday so that they can move in there tomorrow. And the Lord says, Isaiah 43 is yours. Do not ponder the things of the past. Do not call to mind the former things. Behold, I'm doing a new thing, says the Lord. And will you not be aware of it? The Lord says he's about to do something new with the two of you guys as you marry, and it's going to be far greater than you can imagine. You're not even aware of what it is that you're about to get into, but whenever you get in there, you're going to see it's far greater and better than you could ever imagine. But the Lord says he's bringing about a sense of harmony and peace among the blended family. He's going to cause things to work together, and you're going to see some things are going to be pretty, pretty powerful in that. In fact, there is a friendship coming among your children, among your kids as they come together, and they're going to learn how to depend on each other and love each other and care for each other. But here's the key. You got to understand, God put you together because he's got something ready for you. Got it? It isn't getting ready. It is ready. When you get married, you'll step into the created purposes of the Lord in your life. And God says those things that have been now will become a reality to you. There's been things that you have written down that you long for in this marriage. God's going to meet every one of them. And he's going to exceed them triple over what you have asked for the Lord. You've been writing down in a journal, in a diary or something, things that you want. God says he's meeting every one of those. I saw seven things written down in your journal. God's going to give you every one of them, all seven of them. All right? Now, I want to tell you this. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. Dude, I've been married 42 years. I got me a good deal. And I don't want anybody messing with it, right? How many of you men got a good thing? Stand up. No, don't sit down yet. You guys have got a good... I tell you what, if you're marrying your wives here, you better stand up. You guys, stretch your hand out toward it. What's your first name, sir? Matt? Okay, good. You guys stand up, stretch your hand out to Matt. I want y'all to say this to me. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to bless this man, that he would lead his wife, lead his family, and he would be the head of the marriage as he submits to Christ. Father, we bless him today in Jesus' name. He has found a good thing because you said so. So I ask you to bless him, bless his wife, bless the blended family, and Father, we speak life into them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for grace and peace. Now, Lord, we release the favor of God over them now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. That's how you bless. Amen. That's how you bless. Because you see, God's up to something. Psalm 139, let me throw this at you right quick. Listen, I'm just giving y'all kind of everything. Somebody asked me, are you preaching? No, I'm having a spasm. I'm just kind of letting it out. If I didn't have to make a plane tonight, we might get out about 2 o'clock in the morning. Don't tempt me. Do not tempt me. Psalm 139 says this, verse 13, for you did form my inward parts. For you did weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Everybody say this with me. My soul knows the work of the Lord. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. For your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not a one of them. How precious also are your thoughts toward me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand of the sea. And when I awake, I am still with you. Boy, I'm telling you, I don't need to get that in you. Let me give you three things you need out of this prophetically going forward. Number one, your days have already been written, and they're in a book in heaven. All your days have already been written. You know what that means? That means that God's already written a book about you. You ever had a deja vu moment? You know what I'm talking about, deja vu? It's like, well, I've been here before. I've seen that before. You have. But it ain't deja vu. What you're doing is you are stepping into what God wrote about you before you were born, before the days of the earth. God wrote your life in a book before the world was ever created. And you know what happens when you have that moment? You're catching up with what God has already said you would be. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to catch up. You catch up because you see your life, your deeds, your works have already been written. God's already written a book. Number two, God knows the book that he has written in your life. Many of you now are getting into a new chapter of that book. Some of you, the old book was closed and there's a new book being written. One of the things I released to the guys in Edmonton this week is that the Lord is writing new books for us. I mean, literally, 24 is a closing out of a period of time. It's more than a season. Now, 25 is the opening and the writing of a new book that God has already established for you. And I'm telling you right now, you're in a place where the Lord wants you to know that he knows you since before the day you were born. He literally formed you in the mother's womb. He said to Jeremiah, he said, when I formed you, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Now, isn't that crazy? God said, I knew you before you were ever created. Turn your neighbor and say, God knows more about you than you'll ever live out. So you got to know God is doing it. Third thing you got to grab is that you got to know that the Lord's thoughts toward you are not only precious, but they're innumerable. There is far more than you could ever imagine. I was telling Josh coming up here, I met Josh this weekend, and he's pulled everything in the world out of me this weekend. It's been fun. But I was telling him, I've been to heaven a number of times. Now, I know that freaks some of y'all out, but that's okay. You didn't go. I have, all right? That's all that matters. Somebody told me one time, I don't believe it. I said, I don't care if you believe it or not. I went. It's kind of like going to Six Flags in Texas. If you didn't go, it doesn't mean it's not there. It means you didn't go. I went. I remember one time, 6 o'clock on a Monday night, I was praying, and the Lord caught me up into heaven. And I remember I looked and the earth was here and there was a ladder leaning up against a door in heaven, and it wasn't but about 20 or 30 feet. You see, heaven is not a place, it's a dimension. Does that make sense? It's another dimension. It's a lot closer. So I'm watching and I'm seeing these angels come up and down this ladder, and they're going up empty-handed, coming down the big old armloads of scrolls like this. And these angels are coming down. I said, Lord, I want to go in that room. He said, go over there and put your foot on the ladder. I put my foot on the bottom rung of the ladder. And I mean, I got it on the bottom rung. I was right at the top looking in this room. And this room is as far as I could see. And on either side of this room, there were big bookcases. There were black books with red splines with gold letter writing on the back of them. Right in the middle of the room was a table, and there were angels on either side of that table. They would pull the book down, rip the pages out, roll them up, and lay them in the center of the table, and it looked like scrolls. And then after they would rip all the pages out of the book, they'd turn and put them back into the bookcase and they would fill back up with pages again. And I'm like, this is cool. And I asked the Lord, he was standing there. I said, Lord, what is this? He said, I've taken you to the Hall of Revelation. And I said, what are these pages? He said, these pages are all the things my Father has spoken and all my Father is doing in the earth and among his people. And I'm releasing now the things that he has said, and my people will begin to eat and understand the things of the Lord. And I noticed that these angels would come down. They wouldn't let anybody touch the pages, the scrolls. They'd look at them and say, open your mouth, and they would feed them to the people. And the moment they consumed them, they knew everything that was written on the page. It became a part of who they were. And I'm standing there looking, I'm saying, Lord, what's happening? He said, these books These books carry everything the Father said. I said, Lord, how come they fill back up? He said, because my Father is never, ever, ever stopping his work in the hearts of men and women. I will fill them up because they will always speak of the miracles, the signs of wonders, and the things of the Lord. And it was so amazing because I was watching this happen, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, what I want you to tell my people is that there is more coming than they're able to consume. And he said, the signs, wonders, and miracles are going to be released in the days in your lifetime are going to go to an exponential level. And everything that the Lord said he is going to do now is taking place. Turn to your neighbor and say, now is the time. Many of you have been waiting for God to fulfill a promise in your life, but the Lord says now is the time that the promises of God are yes and amen. And I'm telling you right now, there are things God has written in the books of heaven that are written for us that we have to learn to walk into. We're going to have to step into what God is doing. And I'm telling you right now, if you don't want yours, I want it. All right? I'll take it in a heartbeat. I won't even think about it. Because I'm telling you, what I've seen God do is absolutely amazing. And you know, the truth is, Psalm 139 basically says this. God says, I knew you before you were born. I've already assigned things to your life. Now I need you to walk it out. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to walk it out. You're going to have to learn to walk out what God says is yours. And guys, I'm telling you, this is not a time to say, well, I don't know. Are you kidding me? Say you know if you don't know, and you'll figure it out as you run it out. Because you see, God's up to something that's so amazing. I had somebody the other day say, I just don't know if God raises the dead. I said, I've already raised six of them, so yeah, I know all about it. What would you like to know? Well, I don't know if the Lord will heal that person. I do. Bring them over here. Don't pray for them. You'll get them in unbelief. Bring them here. I'm going to get them in faith. You see, we got to learn how to live in that place of faith and believe God, trust the Lord. Now, here's what I'm saying. Psalm 139 basically says this. God knows the years of your life. He knows the days. He knows the things about you. Everything has already been written. And quite frankly, I want you to understand something, ladies and gentlemen. God is fully capable of getting you where you need to be if you'll just cooperate with him. Somebody called me the other day and said, I just don't know. I think I have missed God and I messed it up and I just don't know about that. I said, so let me get this right. You're telling me that you're bigger than God and your screw-ups will keep you from not accomplishing what God says is you're in God in heaven and in heaven when God speaks, everything has to happen. So you're telling me that your mess-ups are bigger than God's ability to get you through this deal? And they said, well, I never thought about it like that. I said, yeah. And you know what I'm finding out? So many people think that their mess ups is going to stop God from doing what he wants to do in their life. I'm going to tell you right now, you can't mess this deal up enough that he can't get it straightened out. Got it? Oh, now, let me, how many of y'all know that confession is good for the soul and bad for the reputation? How many of y'all have had in the last 6 months that thought, God, I messed this deal up. I don't know. I just don't know if it can get straightened out or not. Stand up if that's you. I know there's more than two of us in the room. Y'all just get right here. I'm going to pray over you. You know what I'm going to ask the Lord? I'm going to ask God to take our mess ups and straighten them out. You know why? Because I need a mess up straightened out right now. You know, all of us that get into that place sometimes, we just got to say, Lord, I don't know how you're going to deal with this, but Lord, I'm going to submit to whatever it is you want to do in my life. So God, I pray for those of us that are standing. Father, in the name of Jesus, I call that situation overturned in Jesus' name. God, I'm asking right now, whatever it is that they're facing, I'm asking you to turn that thing around for your glory. I'm praying for a miracle, Father. I'm praying for the manifestation of your presence. And Father, I'm asking right now, God, that you would give them grace to walk out. Lord, I'm calling miracles over everyone that is standing so that, Father, they will see your redemptive nature, your heart for them, your love for them. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that they would be able to see the fact that, God, you love them enough, you've called them into a greater measure of your provision and purpose in their life. Thank you, God, that you are a God who takes the bad and makes it good, that all things work together for good to those that love God and that are called according to his purpose. Father, I call us to a place of deeper love and the purposes for which you have created us. And Lord, I thank you that today, Lord, that you're taking us and you're making a beautiful tapestry of our life in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God's a master. He's a master at taking life and making it whole again. And I'm telling you right now, one of the things that is so deep in my heart that we have to learn to grab hold of is the fact that God, what he has said in his word for us, is unalterable. It's absolutely, there's just no way it can be altered. You know, we just came through the Christmas season, and many of us read the story of when Gabriel shows up to Mary and tells her that she's going to give birth to a son, and his name will be Jesus, and all the story behind it was just a beautiful story. You know what's so amazing about Gabriel? He believed that God said she was going to have a child, and it was going to be right. Thought never occurred to Gabriel it wasn't going to happen. Okay, y'all, come on. Is that true or not? And you know what he said? I'm Gabriel. In fact, he told Zacharias, he said, I'm Gabriel. I come from the presence of God. And he shut John the Baptist's daddy up because he's about to mess everything up with his talking. How many of y'all ever messed anything up because you talk too much? Or just shut him up. I might shut your mouth, boy. You're going to mess this whole deal up. Because where I come from, what God says happens. Well, he goes over to Mary and she said, well, how in the world is this going to happen? And he said, well, the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you, and this is what's going to happen. You know what her reply was? And his last word was, and nothing is impossible with God. All things will always be possible. Everything's possible with the Lord. You know what she said? Be it done unto me according to your word. Can I tell you, the moment she said that, all of a sudden, she became pregnant. Somebody asked me, so when you think she got pregnant? The minute she said, be it done unto me according to your word, she became pregnant with Jesus. You know why? Because she embraced what God said about her life. She pulled it in and said, Lord, just let it happen to me. How many of y'all ready to get pregnant with the word of the Lord in your life? I am. So you're a man. I don't care. I want to get pregnant with the word of the Lord in my life. Is that right? And you know, there are things that God has spoken over our lives, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes it's a scripture when we read it. Sometimes it's someone praying for us. Sometimes it's a prophetic word that is given to our lives. But I'm just telling you right now, there are times when the word of the Lord is spoken over our lives. We got to pull it in and say, okay, Lord, be it done to me according to your word. I don't understand how it happens. Lord, what you're about to do is about to literally destroy what we know as norm and right and intellect. And by the way, you do realize God's not limited to the way you think. You do realize that, right? God's not limited to that. God is unlimited in his ability to do in our life beyond what we think he can do. God loves blowing your mind, and he laughs at it when he does, right? Well, where's that in the Bible? Psalm chapter 2, he who sits in the heaven laughs. Somebody asked me one time, I said, why do you think he's laughing? Because he's looking at us. That's why he's laughing. He who sits in the heaven laughs. He said, I'm going to blow y'all's mind. Watch this. And he does something. We start laughing, and he's laughing. He said, I told you. See, that's where we have to live. Lord, be it done unto me according to your word. Father, what you say about me, what you have written about my life, Psalm 139, God, what you have said I will become, God, who it is that you say I will be, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that that will be performed in my life. Be it done unto me. How many of y'all want that in your life? Stick your hand up. Father, I'm asking right now, Lord, that all of us in this room, we're reaching into the heavenly realm, and God, we're saying, be it done unto us according to your word. Father, you have spoken so many things over many of our lives. Father, prophetically, I release now over this room and over the hands of these people as they reach up. God, fill their hands with the word of the Lord. Fill their life with the word of the Lord. And Father, we're saying to you, be it done unto us according to your word. Whatever it is you're saying, God, let it be so. God, I decree it so in Jesus' name. Father, I just pray right now the power of your Holy Spirit, God, would begin to fill us. Won't you say to me, Father, whatever you said about me, whatever you speak to me, be it done unto me according to your word, because all things are possible by you, and I believe in Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, I believe God. Last thing I want to share with you guys, I'm going to pray for these kids, and we'll do what we can do, and perhaps maybe I can come back one of these days and just pour into you guys some more. I'm in the process of getting my pilot's license. My oldest son is 38 years old. He's a commercial airline pilot, flies Airbuses, Airbus 320 and 321s. He's an 8,000-hour pilot. And I went down to visit him over the holidays, and we were talking, and I had the privilege of flying with him. Now, you talk about a freak you out. You get on an airplane, and your kid is up there flying that thing. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, wait a minute, dude. I need to tell you a couple things. He said, Dad, I got this. I said, okay. Why is it we don't think our kids get it, you know? Hey, guess what? Your parents didn't think you got it either, and you're doing okay, all right? So I'm learning to fly an airplane. He and I were talking about this. And we got talking about the airplane itself, and he said, Dad, one thing you always need to remember whenever you're flying an airplane is your attitude determines your altitude. He said, a plane has an attitude to it, and if you ever get the attitude off on a plane, he said, it'll affect the altitude. He said, if your attitude's low, you'll fly it into the ground. If it's too high, you'll fly it too, and you can stall the engine out and so on and so forth. So he said, you always need to remember your attitude will determine your altitude. And I looked at him and I said, God, that is such a good word. Man, you gave me a sermon. He said, Dad, I'm just telling you right now, if your attitude stinks, you're not going to go anywhere. And I thought, now look, I'll do the preaching from here, boy. And I walked out of that encounter with him, and I got to thinking, God, that is true. So many people are looking at their life thinking, why is life sucky right now? Does life, do y'all use the word sucky up here? Is that okay? Why is life sucky? Because my attitude stinks. I've got an attitude that's going down rather than an attitude that's going up. And the altitude at which we live our life will be determined by the attitude that we carry, the attitude that we have, the attitude that we live out. And as he began to talk to him about this thing about attitude and altitude, I began to realize all of a sudden the way that I think about things is absolutely significant in what I'm going to receive from the Lord. If I don't believe God is able to do this thing, he probably can't. And it's not because he won't, it's because I don't allow him to. And I'm going to be honest with you right now. Your attitude has everything to do with what you receive from the Lord. God is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all you could ask or think, but you have to position yourself to receive what it is that he's bringing. Amen? I have to be willing to say, God, this is it. Now, the next statement I wasn't ready for when he made it, but he looked at me, he said, now, the other thing, Dad, you need to remember is sometimes when you're flying, you get disoriented. And he said, it's real easy. He said, the reason guys fly planes into the ground is they get disoriented and they don't know which way is up. So he said, when you're flying a plane and you get disoriented, he said, in the daytime, you always fly into the sun. You look and find out where the sun is. And he said, when you fly the plane toward the sun, you're going to pick up an altitude and orientation will come back and you'll know where you're going. So Dad, if you ever get in trouble, learn to fly into the sun. I thought, my God. Some of y'all right now need to learn to fly into the S-O-N, sun. Guys, I'm telling you right now, if there's ever a word that I can give to you in Canada, that I can give to you in Red Deer, and that is this, learn to look at the sun. Fly into the sun, because when you fly into the sun, you'll get your orientation back. You'll get your feet back on the ground. You'll get your head cut back in the game. You'll get your emotions back where they need to be. Your spirit will begin to rule over your soul and your body. And whenever you learn to fly into the sun will begin to give you direction and understanding, and you'll begin to walk into the fullness of what God says is yours. I'm telling you right now, start flying into the sun, man. That's where you learn how to get oriented. That's where life happens. I'm about to preach myself happy. That's wherever you begin to see the fullness of God. That's where miracles flow. Signs, wonders, and miracles have not stopped. They're flowing like you've never seen before. I get them every day. I don't mean to be shouting. I'm just excited. Turn to your neighbor and say, he ain't mad, he's happy. God, I'm asking you to help us fly into the sun. Lord, let us see the sun again. Lord, we want to see you. Lord, we want to fly into you, because when we get in you, Lord, that's where we find success and fulfillment. That's where we find meaning and purpose, Lord. When we fly into you, Lord, that's where we begin to realize life has purpose, because you have already written the days of our life. And Father, I confess that Psalm 139 is about flying into the sun. Lord, we fly into you. Lord, we live where you are. We dwell in your presence. We feast at your table. And we're surrounded by your glory.
We're going to fly into the sun. Whew. Turn your neighbor and say, it's time to fly into the sun. There's a mandate on this house, TJ and Rita, that you've got to be able to walk out. This thing about generations is extremely significant. But not only that, there's going to be a call and a passion for evangelism in Red Deer. You're going to see people born again. You're going to see lives changed. God's going to give you so many spiritual babies in this house. You're going to reach the lost. And I'm telling you right now, if you'll go after the ones that no one else wants, God will give you the ones no one else can get. If you'll go after those who want to need and need to know Him, if you'll go after them, God will begin to raise up men and women of faith. And I'm going to tell you this. God is releasing a maturity in this house to be released into this city. See, the anxious longing of creation is waiting the revealing of the huios, the mature sons of God. There are two words for sons. One is technon, which is infant. The other one is huios, which is mature son. Creation is not looking for immaturity. It's looking for maturity. God has sent you here. And He is placing you the heart to bring the maturity into the lives of sons and daughters. The huioses, the mature ones, that when they stand and speak, creation will come to attention. Where creation itself will respond to the maturity of the sons and the daughters who are walking in that. God's giving you a mandate to pour life into them. Your heart will rejoice and you will feel a sense of fulfillment like you've never felt in your life. Because not only are people going to get it, they're going to walk it out. This house is going to explode. You better get a bigger place in a hurry because you're going to need one because it's the heart of the Lord. By the way, God's not into addition. He's into multiplication. You're going to walk in multiplication, not addition. Multiplication. Got it? 5 + 5 = 10, but 5 × 5 = 25. You're walking in multiplication. Got it? You're going to walk in that place of the 5 × 5. We're going to walk into the 10 × 10. And by the way, Genesis 26, resting on this house, Isaac sowed in the land in the same year he reaped 100-fold. People are going to come into this house and they're going to sow here. And whatever they do, 100-fold return is going to come back to them. Because he put good seed in good ground, they brought a good harvest. And you guys will teach people how to walk in the 100-fold return. How many of y'all want a 100-fold return? I'm walking there. I want it. God, I'm asking you, Lord, to bring the 100-fold return over the sons and the daughters. God, I'm asking you to bring that right now in Jesus' name. I'm asking you, Lord, to release the blessing of heaven over sons and daughters. God, I want to ask you to cancel debt right now. I'm asking you to pay off mortgages. I'm asking you to pay off bills, Lord. Father, I'm asking right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you would release your power, Father, to bring satisfaction of debt, Lord. I'm asking for financial increase in the lives of sons and daughters in this room who will honor you with their first fruits, their tithes, and their offerings. And God, that you would hurl it back into them, Lord, that you would begin to cancel out what you want. God, I thank you, Lord, their seed will bear fruit. And God, I thank you, Lord, that God, you're going to do a good work in Jesus' name. How many of y'all know God's into canceling debts? How many of y'all know God's into paying off mortgages? I was in one of the churches overseas here 2-3 years ago, and I'm right in the middle of preaching, and before I knew it, flew out of my mouth, I said, God's going to send somebody here to pay off your debt. How much you owe? They owed $175,000. And the pastor says, well, we owe exactly this. 2 weeks later, a guy came through, was a former elder in their church. He was a pharmacist. He walked in. He was speaking. He said, you know what? God just told me to pay off this building. How much is it? He told him he wrote him a check for the full amount.
month later, they were debt free. Come on now, how many of y'all can believe God for that? I walked into the dentist's office the other day and my dentist said, this is a crazy thing. Said, I owed $50,000 to one of our vendors. And said, they called me up and said, Dr. Moss, and we've been looking over your what you owe us and so on and so forth. And she said, yes. And said, you know, we are a kingdom company. We believe in God. We believe in blessing and giving. And every year we choose one person and we completely forgive their debt. And we were talking the other day and God gave us your name. Or we're calling you. We're just telling you, whatever you owe us right now is paid in full. We're canceling your debt. You don't owe us $50,000. We're calling it good, and we call it paid up in Jesus' name. She said, no, I've already made it. They said, no, God's already paid for it. It's done. Call it good. It's over. We forgive the debt. We cancel it. You'll know it, not owe us another dime. How many of y'all want to live like that? Earlier this year, a man called me. He called me later. He actually picked me up at the airport one day and he said, hey, can I ask you a personal question? How many of y'all know you tighten up when somebody says, I want to ask you a personal question. I said, well, I don't know. He said, no, really, I got a personal question. How much do you owe on your house? And I said, look, we don't tell anybody about that. That's just between me and my wife. He said, I understand. How much do you owe on your house? I said, I told you we don't talk about that. He said, I'm asking you that for a reason. He said, the Lord asked me to ask you how much you owed on your house. What do you do when somebody pulls a God card on you? You know what I mean? So I looked at him and I said, oh, $213,000 on my mortgage. He said, I call it good in Jesus' name. I said, I do too. He said, no, I'm paying your mortgage off. I said, you're doing what? He said, you're going to be out here in a month. He said, I'll have a check ready for you. I went out there a month later and handed me a check for $213,000. He said, God told me to pay off your mortgage. I said, I didn't ask you to do that. He said, no, you didn't. God did. And I'm going to stand up and do it because I'm going to get me a blessing. And I watched God cancel out my mortgage in February of this year. Shundai, come on now. Shundai. Now, I look back and I think, God, it's incredible what you've done. I've heard people say, oh, that'll never happen. Did to me. But I sowed right seed in the right ground. I believed God. I trusted him. But I ran my life out on the limb of flying into the sun. I'm telling you, whenever you do it, God's going to start doing it. I'm telling you right now, God's going to start paying off debts for you in this room. God's going to cancel some debts. God's going to release a favor of the Lord over a lot of your lives, and he's going to cause you to become debt-free because he's an intentional God, and he does exceeding abundantly beyond all that you ask or think. What would it be like if you guys went into that building and it was debt-free? Wouldn't that be cool? Lord, we're just going to ask you to do that right now in Jesus' name. Lord, would you please do that for these guys? Father, would you just release the blessing of heaven? Father, would you just release what you desire to do? In Jesus' name. Let me give you two things. I want to pray for these kids that are 5 to 12. If you're here and you're having heart issues, I want you to stand up. Issues with your physical heart. Seven years ago, I was laying in the hospital. The doctors had diagnosed me with congestive heart failure, called in a surgeon, ran tests on me, told me everything they were going to do, followed by this statement, Mr. Till, we don't think you're going to live. We've informed your wife to call in your family. They're going to be here. We're going to take you into surgery. We don't think you'll come out. If you do, you'll have wires and tubes running out of your body and you know, we're going to have to do an extensive surgery. We're talking about something very, very serious. I called a friend of mine I do healing meetings with, and he came over on, they were going to do the surgery at 10 o'clock on Friday morning. I called him up. He shows up at 7 o'clock on Friday, and he prays for me, and I hit the floor, and I get up, and man, I felt like a brand new man. And Jonathan looked at me and said, okay, Ron, go for it. They're going to get in there and find nothing. So they roll me into the surgical unit, and he said, we're going to run one last cardiac cath on you. It's going to tell us what we need to do, where we need to go, and we're going to verify. And so when you wake up, if you wake up, and I mean, they were giving me no hope. Do you understand? No hope. If you wake up. I looked at the heart surgeon and I said, I appreciate you saying that. You're fired in Jesus' name. You got it. I don't need you today. You're not going to work on me. He started laughing at me. He said, oh, you don't understand. I said, no, you don't understand. I got me a new heart this morning at 7:30, buddy. And I said, you're fired. You can go home. I'm not going to need you. They rolled me out of the surgical unit 30 minutes later and looked at my wife and said, we don't know what happened. His arteries are fine. His heart is fine. Every test that we ran and every cath we did before has completely changed. We can't do anything to him. They let me out on Saturday. That was on Friday. They let me out the next day. I was in Canada, Edmonton, Canada, preaching Friday. He said, where are you going to go? I said, you going to let me out of here? I'm going back to Alabama, get my suitcase, and I'm headed to Canada. He said, you can't go preach. You need to take off for a few weeks. I said, I am. By Thursday, I'm good. 3 days later, I'm on a plane. How many of y'all know God is able? I want y'all to stretch your hands out to these people that are standing. I'm praying for you because I know what God's done for me. So, Lord, I'm asking right now that your healing power would go deep within the hearts of these people that are standing. Lord, I command congestive heart failure to be healed. God, I command mitral valves to be healed right now. God, I speak right now, Lord, to the aortic valves. I speak to the aorta. I command healing right now through the cardiovascular system. I command the ejection fraction of the heart to go to normal now in Jesus' name. Father, I'm asking you to extend your hand to heal over these that are standing, that, Father, your healing presence and your healing power will begin to manifest in their physical bodies. God, I decree right now that over them, healing has come. I call them healed. I call them whole. I call them complete in Jesus' name. AFib, go and never return. You have no right over them. And I command AFib to be healed right now in the lives of these who are standing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What's your name, son?
Huxley.
You was playing the guitar up there a minute ago, weren't you? I want to pray for you. You know what God told me? He said, I want you to turn on that prophetic gift in that boy. And I want you to lay hands on his eyes. And I want you to open his eyes to see what I see. You like to dream? You're going to dream a whole bunch, buddy. Not only that, you're going to see dreams. You're going to see visions. So I'm going to lay hands on you and I'm going to pray for you. Is it okay? And I'm going to believe God, we're going to turn that prophetic gift in you up. Is that all right? You know that's in there? Did you know you're a prophet? The answer is yes. Yeah, come on, shake your head yes. Come on, get in agreement with me, dude. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I turn up the gift in this boy. God, I'm asking you to make his dreams more real. Father, I'm asking you to open his eyes to see in the realm of your spirit. Lord, there are seers in Scripture that we read about. I'm a seer. Father, right now as I pray for him, Lord, I release the power and the grace over his life. I release the prophetic grace, Lord, for him to walk in. The Nabi prophet gift where he would know. And Lord, I'm asking right now that, Lord, the fresh fire of heaven would rest upon him in Jesus' name. And Father, I decree your kingdom come, your will be done. In Huxley, as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name. Hey, record your dreams. I write them down. You guys record them. Y'all get, write your dreams down. Your dreams are important. God's going to speak to you in dreams. Got it? Wisdom. The thing on the back of the burner that you were talking about was wisdom. It's wisdom. And you know what God gives freely. So, Father, in Jesus' name right now, Father, I decree the wisdom, the secret ingredient of your heart, the secret ingredient, Lord, of what you say, the secret ingredient, what brings dimension, Father, to your ministry and your work in our lives. God, I'm asking you to release it in him now, in Jesus' name. Father, I release the word of wisdom, the spiritual gift that is given. Holy Spirit, I ask you, manifest that in him, in Jesus' name. Lord, may he speak your wisdom. May he live by your wisdom. Father, may wisdom be added into everything in his life. Because, Lord, Proverbs says, By wisdom a house is built, by understanding it is established, and with knowledge the rooms are filled with all pleasant and precious riches. God, build the house, Lord, and release the wisdom, Lord God, that causes him to look beyond what is in the natural realm into the realm of the Spirit, where he will call those things that be not as though they were, and they will be. In Jesus' name. Faith always speaks out loud. You cannot have faith with a thought. It has to be turned into words. Faith will come as a thought, but it has to be spoken. That's why Jesus said, when you say to the mountain, not when you think it, say, move. When you speak to your mountain, you speak to your circumstances. Faith has words. You know why? Because when you say it, God executes it. When you speak it, it begins to move. Jesus in his whole life was releasing his word. And whenever he said it, faith rose up. When the centurion looked at him and said, Lord, you don't need to go to my house. If you'll just say the word, my servant will be healed. You know what Jesus' reply was? I hadn't seen such great faith in all of Israel. Why? Because this guy who was a Roman looked at him and said, look, I'm not worthy if you come into my house, but if you'll say it, it'll be a done deal. He had the secret to faith right there. And Jesus said, did y'all hear what he said? If I say it, it is done. So Jesus said it, and the same hour his servant was healed. Same, turn to your neighbor and say, same hour. That's pretty quick, isn't it? He said it. Let your words carry the faith of God in the ears of people that hear. Let them hear what God has to say through your mouth. That's why you need to get your mouth saved. Lord, save my mouth. God, let me speak words of life. God, let my words frame faith. That I will say, that building will be paid for when we walk in Jesus' name. I say it. I believe it. I release that. Lord, you will work in my life. I speak to those things that are there. Every time I pray for someone to be healed, I say something to them. I speak to them. And healing comes because of what I say. Same thing with you, what you say. So turn to your neighbor and say, start saying something. Just start saying something. Say what God says. Okay. We're going to pray for folks. Is that all right? And I know I've got to head out of here pretty quick. All the kids, 5 to 12, I want y'all to come up here. We're going to form a line. I need some of you adults come help us get this thing done. We're going to run them through here in just a minute. I want y'all to get over there on that side, and y'all can face me. Just get one behind each other in a straight line that way right there. All the kids kind of line up. I need some adults can come and help me if you would. We're just going to run through here, and I'm going to lay hands on them right quick. We're going to pray. How many of y'all believe God wants to bless these guys? How many of y'all believe God wants to bless these guys? I want everybody to stand to your feet, if you would, right now. Stretch your hands out toward these guys. Father, we just ask you, Lord, to bless these kids in Jesus' name. Lord, we're asking you to touch them. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have y'all kind of walk through. I'm just going to lay my hand on your head. I'm going to ask the Lord to bless you. Can I do that? Because you're the generation that the Lord is going to do some amazing things out of, right? So, y'all are married, right? I think you are. You're pretty close to it anyhow. One of y'all get over here on this side, another one get on that side. And I want y'all to kind of help me run these guys through. Can y'all do that? All right. Father, in Jesus' name, y'all stretch your hands out. Start praying right now. Start praying in the Spirit. Father, we just release the power of your Holy Spirit. God, I bless them now in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for the blessing of heaven that's resting. Father, I bless them. Lord, I bless her now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I bless her now in Jesus' name. I bless, Father, the dance before the Lord in Jesus' name. I bless her now in Jesus' name. Lord, I bless this child in Jesus' name. Father, I bless this young man. I bless you in the name of the Lord. I bless you in Jesus' name. Father, I speak blessings in Jesus' name. I decree blessings. Father, I speak blessings now. I bless you in the name of the Lord. I bless you now in Jesus' name. I bless you. in the next generation. I bless you in the fullness of what God's created. I bless you in Jesus' name. I bless you. I bless you now in the name of the Lord. I bless you to walk in fullness. I bless you with faith. I bless you with the gift of God. I bless you in the fullness of what God says. Bring her in here. Lord, I bless her right now. She's going to be a worship leader.
Yes.
Whose baby is this?
That's our parents.
Oh, really?
Nathan's.
Come over here, son. Huh? Bring her over here. Bring that baby back here. Where's she at? Come on, Daddy. Get her up here. Where is your? You're married, obviously. You got kids. Where's your wife? Y'all stay up here. Don't run off. And there's a... Where's she at? Does it? It sure does. Is that her name? That's a Hebrew word. When I laid hands on her, I saw worship come out of her. I watched it. I saw it. I saw the manifestation. I'm a seer. I see things. I saw worship coming out of her. You know what I heard the Lord say? I'm going to bless her siblings. I'm going to bless. I had no idea that's who y'all were. But I'm just telling you right now, what you're sowing in these kids in worship is going to carry to the next generations. Can you believe 1,000 generations of worship is going to come out of you? Can you believe, God, that your children will carry worship in their heart? This little one right now, she's going to have worship, and God's going to bless her in that. Father, I'm asking you to bless this family. Lord, bless this little girl. How many kids y'all got? You ain't done yet. No, y'all going to have 4, man. Lord, I'm asking right now in Jesus' name. Hey, you got to be fruitful to multiply. You know what I'm talking about, dude? Blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them. So get you a full bag, dude. God, I'm asking, Lord, a full quiver in Jesus' name. But Lord, I'm asking, Lord, for the release of worship through this family. God, I'm asking the release of worship now, Father, to come in the lives of these children. Lord, they're not just going to worship. They're going to be worship. That's going to be who they are. It's not what they do. It's who they are. God, I'm asking you, Lord, with this mother and father, that you would put the DNA of worship in them. And Lord, let them sing to you the new song of the generation for which they live. And then God, let it pass on to 1,000 generations. And Father, we just decree the worship of the Lord, Father, will manifest them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 How long y'all been married?
6 years.
Oh, I've been married 42. Y'all just getting started good. You'll have a long life. You'll have a fantastic marriage. You're going to have numerous grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Because I'm telling you, you are created for generations. You ain't created for you. And life isn't about you. Life is about the generations that follow you. We give into the nations of the earth and the children that we sow in the land. God's going to use your children to carry out what is in his heart and what is in his desire. Let it go. And watch God do what he does. Amen. Blessing. By the way, I love the worship today. It's good.
Thank you for listening to the Summit Podcast. We pray it impacted your heart. If you have prayer requests, we would love to pray with you. Email prayer@thesummitreddeer.ca.